talking about resurrecting broken dreams or replacing them. So at the very end, the last thing I had to die to was the idea that I would ever do anything for God. You may have had a dream, and even it may have been a promise, and you know God told you, like, God, I know you told me that. I couldn't have just made that up. I know you told me I'd be doing that, but why am I not doing that? Don't worry. If that promise was God, you're in the process of walking through something to prepare you. Listen, it isn't Bible school that prepares you. It isn't. I love Bible school. I do. I respect it. I think it's a great thing. I think everybody should have some really good, solid word teachings, okay? So I'm not saying that. But Bible school alone doesn't teach you the stuff you need to do. It doesn't teach you the walk of the Spirit. They can try, but that's something only one can teach you. There's only one who can teach you the walk of the Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. What we can do is motivate you, get you to say, man, I'll do that. I want to do that. Man, I'll spend my life doing it. I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost. I'm going to learn how to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to learn how the wind flows. I'm going to learn how the water flows. I'm going to learn how to speak by the power of God. I'm going to learn how to carry the glory. But all we can do is get you to say, that's like that lady did for me. She couldn't do it for me. She even said, I can't teach you to pray. The only way you can learn to pray is to pray. No one can teach you. You've got to pray and pray and pray and pray, and eventually you get real sensitive to God's world. So all we can do is make you hungry, make you thirsty, so you say, you know what, all this other stuff I wanted, that's nothing. I want this, and this is what I want, right? And we know not everybody will, and that's okay. But if a person or two in here set their course and say, if it takes me the rest of my life, I'm going to go after the Lord Jesus. I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit. I'm going to learn the walk of the Spirit. One or two people do that, those two will change the world. They will change the world. Because what they'll do is press in. It takes a while because you have to become acclimated to a new world. New rules, new flow. Doesn't work like the earth realm. So there's two kinds of dreams. The first one is a dream of a promise God gave you. I want to share this with you. There's a scripture that says he sees the end from the beginning. And I have good news for you. God never starts a process that he doesn't intend to finish. He didn't start something in you without already seeing the good end of it. Amen. Now, I'll admit that if we make poor choices and remain self-absorbed, we can stop that move from happening. I'm convinced that many people never fulfill their mission because they are too hung up on their own thing or the system they were taught that's not his system. Okay, and that's no condemnation. I'm here to just explain that. But if you continue to make good choices, and it won't always be popular with your Spirit-filled friends. Oftentimes, no one can see what's going on in you except you and him, unless God shows somebody by the Spirit. So people will sometimes come to you and say, I don't see it. Edgar told me, he said, I don't think you're called to preach, you're too quiet. Okay. Finally, one day, the guy was supposed to introduce him, didn't show up, and Edgar said, you think you could introduce me? He said, I think I could do that. So he said, just take about 5 minutes. Okay. And I took about 5 minutes, like, sit down. He goes, you know, I think you're called to preach. What do you think about that? Hallelujah. See, no one can understand who's in you and what's in you. So people will undervalue or underestimate and maybe say things that are hurtful. They don't mean to hurt you. They just can't see it because it doesn't show on your outside. But what's in you, it's holy. And if you've been called to do something, the process that you are walking through is a process of that thing being birthed. And what has to happen? Listen to me. Now think about this. Think about your physical body, right? In your body, you've got the structure, the physical structure. In there somewhere, there's a brain, a mind, your will, your emotions. That's called your soul. But deep on the inside, there is a born-again spirit that is a person in heaven, a citizen of the heavenly city. that whether you know it or not has fellowship in the Spirit with him openly. Whether you know it or not, there's an open heaven over that one all the time. So how do you get there? How do you release that thing that has been put in you? How do you do it? You break through the flesh. That's why you mortify the flesh. That's why you die to self. Because what are you doing? You're taking an axe and you're crashing through to the man of the Spirit, the born again one, your true identity from heaven. You are not who people think you are. You are not even who you think you are. No one can look at you or me in the flesh and have a clue who we are. Not in the Spirit. And I'll tell you the truth. I've been ministering. I started ministering part-time. I started in 1989, so you kind of get an idea how old I am. So long time. But yeah, I'm old. Edgar would say, that's old. But the good news is, back in those days, I just thought, well, I'm called to preach, because that's, I didn't know. I knew I was called to preach. That's all I knew. But over the years, God kept narrowing it and defining it and adding to it. He didn't really add. He revealed to me more and more. He would say, oh, we're going to do this now. And I'd be like, oh, I didn't know that was, oh, I didn't know we were doing that. I'd say, by the way, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that, but you're going to do it through me. That's the way of all things. I can't do it, but you, Lord, can do it through me. That's called the grace of God. He doesn't call you to do stuff you can do. He doesn't need your help. He doesn't need your help. What he needs is your spirit man to be able to flow through all the other stuff to release him into the earth without all the junk, without your stuff, without your emotional issues. With some of you, I got my eyes shut, not looking at anybody. But some of you are so quickly and easily offended. You're so hurt, so easily hurt. I'm not condemning you, but what that is a signal is something in there needs to be healed. How will you stand on the mountaintop and preach the glory? Listen to me. When you do preach the glory, let me tell you something. A whole bunch of people will like you and a whole bunch of people won't. And believe me, they're going to say stuff to try to hurt your feelings. And if you aren't whole from that, you'll crumble like a old piece of hard clay. Jesus was so whole emotionally. They came against him one way and another and a third way and again. He wasn't moved. He just kept right on going. He wasn't hurt. You know why? He was whole. He so knew who he was and what he was here to do. He knew who he was. He knew his identity. And he knew that he had a mission. And by the way, he knew that part of that mission was to be crucified. Now remember, he was in and out of Jerusalem all the time. Crucifixions happened all the time. Josephus said there were so many crucifixions, they ran out of wood. So imagine how it felt to be Jesus, walking in and out of the gates, reading Isaiah 53, looking at someone being crucified, saying, yep, that's going to be me right there. That's going to be me. And still, I will do it because of my Father. Think about it. Have we done anything for God, really? So Jesus knew the reason he was here, and because he knew it, he already knew, well, there's going to be people that hate me. That's okay. That's not my problem. My problem is to do what the Lord has told me to do. He said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And that's all he cared about. And brothers and sisters, if we can come to a place of wholeness where we say, this isn't about me, and it isn't about what you think of me, it isn't about if you like me, or you like my outfit, or you think, man, she could lose a little weight, hallelujah. It's not about that. It's about the power of the Spirit that God can release. Amen. So, some of you have a dream or a promise, let's call it a promise. Maybe you journaled it. I can actually see a picture of someone's journal where you wrote years ago and you've gone back 100 times, maybe hundreds of times to read that and say, Lord, I know that was you. Did I miss it? And then you would think, because this is how the enemy talks to us. Maybe I took a wrong turn in the road. Maybe I screwed up so bad, I don't even know where the road is anymore. I used to feel like that. Like maybe I misunderstood. But deep down, I'm like, no, I know that was God. I know that promise. was from God. But then I think, well, maybe I don't know, maybe I took a wrong turn in the road. And God spoke to me one day and he said, don't you know that no matter where you find yourself, even if you're out in the woods at the dead end and you're completely lost, in 1 second I can pick you up and put you right smack in the center of my will. And I said then, please do it, because I'm feeling a little stuck in the woods here. So I want to say that the first type of broken dream is one that God did give. It's actually God's dream in you that may be going through a crucifixion process. And God isn't condemning you. And you know what? Here's the good news. Here's what I learned. You can speed up or slow down the process. You know, I used to think, well, it's God's time. You know, when it's God's time, when God's ready, well, he'll do it. And I'd be like, well, just wake me up when you're ready, you know. So I think I'm waiting on him. But he began to teach me he was actually waiting on me to be prepared properly. He was waiting on my choices, my decisions, and my faith. It isn't God's timing, isn't some date on a calendar that never moves. The date moves in or out depending on us, our lifestyle, our choices, and the wisdom in which we walk. Sitting at his feet, you know, you put that off long enough, you'll waste some years. I said, if you put off sitting at his feet long enough, you'll waste your years. You'll end up an old person going, gee, I sure wish I would have done that. I can't stand when I miss it. I can't stand when I feel like I've wasted a year or wasted 3 months or wasted time that I could have been. We could all, and I'm not talking about works, I'm talking about hanging out with the King. So that first kind of dream is a dream that is actually a seed from God that he showed you a picture of. Every person in here has some reason they were born. It may not be public ministry, that's okay. But you have a purpose on this planet. And I promise you, it's wonderful. But the object, you know, when you open a game, it says the object of the game. The object of the game is to come into position to be able to open that seed. And remember, a seed, a little acorn becomes a mighty oak. Right? That little bitty seed, you keep watering that and you keep dealing with that, it becomes very great, very vast. Just like the parable. Remember the parable of a small seed? Becomes a tree so great that the birds of the air can rest in its branches. People can come and eat the fruit off of your branches. Right? That's you. He's talking about you. So that don't, I feel like God wants you to know you're in process. Don't worry about it. You didn't miss it. And by the way, even if you did, that won't stop the dream. Just come back. Even if you blew it 100,000 times, just keep coming back. How many times? 100,001. You just keep coming back. You just keep coming back. There is no place that is so far out that God can't put you right back in the center. It's all about the heart. We are the limitation, not him. I don't care how bad you blew it. I don't care how bad you blew it or how many times you blew it. God's will is to always bring you right back into the center of his heart. No questions asked. You say, Holly, prove it. I'm so glad you said that. In the parable of the prodigal son, you know, that kid had a lot to answer for, didn't he? He took the inheritance and he went and spent it on rank sin. Today we would call it sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's essentially harlots, right? Loose living and harlots. But it says when he came to his senses, he wanted to go back home. But he thought his father wouldn't receive him. We think that's for unbelievers. No. It is for unbelievers, but it's for us too. I don't care if you've been eating in the barn with the swine and you smell like pig poo. I want to say two things. First thing is God didn't go get him. He waited. Why? Because God waits for our decision. And he'll wait 1 year or 10 or 20. So you can do this thing as fast or slow as you want. But when he came before the Father, stinking like a pig barn, the Father fell on him and kissed his neck. At no point did he say, where have you been? Where's the dough? Really, you spent it on harlots? Look at you now. No, he never says it. And I'm telling you, if you come back 10,000 times, he'll never say, why did you screw up? Couldn't you have done a little better than that? What was that story you told me? Some guy, what did he do, that guy? And Jesus said, let's not. Oh, he tried drugs. Saint of God, wasn't he like a worship guy?
Yeah.
He doesn't. I'm putting this, I'm going to say, repeat, so we get on the recording. He was born again evangelist. He was a born again evangelist. He got radically converted. He was a street guy, got radically converted, had major encounters with the Lord, sees openly in the spirit, and he had dabbled with a lot of drugs. And Satan sowed a seed, kept sowing this seed about psychedelics, and he finally bit the seed and then took some psychedelics and had a horrible time, horrible. And he was crying out for mercy and praying in tongues, had his wife praying in tongues, and he has an encounter with Jesus. Jesus takes him by the hand and he says, let's not do that again.
Yeah.
He didn't condemn him. He didn't shame him. He loved on him.
That's Jesus.
Let's not do that again, son. Let's not do that again. And just as an aside, again, I am not looking at anyone. Don't use drugs or alcohol as your substitute for the presence. Or a thought that maybe this will get me in, maybe this will drop my barriers. That's a lie from the pit. Just don't do it. That's not condemning it. But if you want the real thing, put away the counterfeit. Just put it away, divorce it. Okay, so now we know that God's timing will move in or out depending upon our choices, right? That kid could have stayed in the hog barn for another 10 years. If he was stubborn or rebellious and said, I'm not going back, you know, or even believed the lie, oh, my dad will never want me back, and he stayed 10 more years, it would have been 10 more years before the party, wouldn't it? If he'd have gotten a clue sooner, This is like the story of my life. If he'd have gotten a clue sooner, he could have gone back home and had the fatted calf. You know, the best shoes, the ring, the robe, the party. See, as soon as he chose, okay? It's all about our choices and our decisions to go with God, whether it's hard or easy, okay? And isn't one decision, it's a million and one. It's a decision every day. It's all the time there's stuff you got to choose. But I'm going to tell you, it behooves you to just make the decision and move on. Die to self, move on, die to self. Because with everything you die to, with everything you're set free from, listen, anytime you get free from something, you just made room for something to flow. I preached for years at a place called Elgin Comfort Suites. And whenever I would get free from something or get a little bit delivered or change a crummy attitude or get set free or repent or whatever, I would notice an increase in the flow. Why? Less junk in the pipe. Is it worth it? You betcha. You bet. So now I want to talk about the second type of dream. There are some dreams, like my first dream, that are actually our own dream of our soul. They're not necessarily wrong. It may be a good dream, but it may not be God's best and highest for you. Sometimes we had a dream and we wanted that thing. Like my first dream, I'm telling you, I think I was probably 3, maybe 4, and I remember blowing out the candles on my birthday cake, and I knew this is what I'm going to do with my life. I'm doing this. And for years, I obsessed about it. I took classes so I could get a career to make enough money to buy what I needed to do that. I mean, I was obsessed with this dream. So imagine my surprise when God said, that's not my dream for you. And by the way, Holly, it's an idol. Yours may not be an idol, but it may be something that God is saying to you gently, darling, I know that that hurt, but what I have for you is better and higher. But what happens sometimes with a broken dream is you shut down. Sometimes with a broken dream, we shut down our heart. It's a survival technique because people can only take so much pain. And when you have a lot of pain for a long time, you grow weary. And eventually you just say, I've said these words. Someone in here has said these words. Lord, I love you with all my heart. I would do anything for you. I would die for you, but I just cannot do this anymore, and you shut down. Now, God's love towards you and his resurrection power towards you are not changed. She might need tissue. But what God wants to do is heal your heart and then give you the resurrection, the real dream. And one of the things that's involved is we have to trust God enough to know that he knows you better than you know you. He knows what's best for you. Listen, you were designed by God. His fingers were in your design. And no one and nothing will make you as happy, contented, and satisfied as his perfect thing. I remember when God told me to start doing seminars, I literally said, Lord, you know I'm not a good teacher. You know, I'm more of a preacher. You spent years teaching me how to stand and deliver without notes. Now you want me to do line upon line? I said these words, how dumb can you get? You know I'm not good at that. And God's like, waiting for me to get a clue. He says, I want you to do a seminar. So I tell, okay, we're calling a seminar. It's going to be January 27th. Everybody pray. And then I went, oh, by the way, what's it going to be on? He says, it's going to be on going to a deeper level in God. I'm thinking, oh, okay, clueless, right? Never did a seminar in my life. So I have everybody praying because I don't know how to do this. And I pray and fast and study, and I gather a bazillion notes, and I'm up till 1 in the morning trying to put it in some kind of thing that makes sense, and all of a sudden it goes. And the day I delivered it, at the end of that day, I called my friend Carolyn, and I said, you know, I said, I feel like a person who's tried 50 pairs of shoes on that are the wrong size, like when you put your left foot on your left shoe on your right foot. And I said, I feel like today I put on a pair of shoes that were made for me. But see, I never saw that coming because I didn't know that was part of what he wanted to do through me. So you understand, it's not about your capability, it is about his capability flowing through you. Okay? And you might say, well, I have a dream and I'm brokenhearted, and we'll get to that. God's going to heal your broken heart. And he's going to give you something better, and he's going to make you new again. God is good at raising people from the dead, and he's good at raising hearts from the dead. Holy is the Lord. I'm just waiting because I want to get this right, okay? I had a great thing I was going to say, and it went away. Lord Jesus, bring it back. Hallelujah. You were created to not just carry, actually carry the glory is kind of the wrong word. Really, it is that you are a delivery system for the things of God to flow from heaven into earth. He has no other system. Biblically, he designed no other system than humans to deliver what he wants. Right? He didn't give the crusade evangelism to angels, did he? No, he gave it to humans. With all our errors, all our problems, all our screw-ups, all our personality stuff, he entrusted not just the preaching of the gospel, but the releasing of heavenly things to humans. Right? And in a way, I think, did he do that on purpose so we would say, okay, that's worth changing for. That's worth getting delivered for. That's worth putting down my stuff to lift up yours. If you come to understand the grace of God, you'll never do anything the same again. The grace of God, I don't want to preach too much on this, but I really want you to have it. The grace of God enables you to do anything you can't do. I could never make good coffee. I could never cook. Didn't like it, didn't want to. So whenever someone would come over and I had to cook, I'd say, Holy Ghost, tell me what to do. I'd put the thing in the oven. He'd say 27 minutes. Okay. And a good thing, too, because, you know, not all ovens are the same. I make real good coffee now. But it's not me. I learned that whenever I have to do something and I don't feel comfortable that I have the ability, which is everything, I must say 200 times a day. No, I'm not exaggerating. All the time I say, Lord, would you give me the grace to do this? Lord, I need to pray, but I really don't feel like it. I need to go to this prayer meeting and my flesh doesn't feel like it. Would you give me the grace to pray? And that is one prayer God has, to my knowledge, never said no to. In the whole of my life, he has done, so I get to watch him do miracles all the time. I get to see him do stuff through me. When I used to work in IT, we had impossible situations that everybody tried. I tried, none of us could fix it. And I would say, Lord, would you give me the grace? And I'd just go sit in the car in my lunch hour, no conversation happening, just sit there. And I'd almost be like, in just rest. And all of a sudden I'd be like, boing, I know what to do. And I'd go in and do it, and it would work, and people thought I was smart, but I wasn't. And it gives us a chance to say, it's, what did Paul say? It's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. That's the system. Right. Our problem is we still think we've got it. We think we have ability. We have smarts. I have this gift from God. Well, that's great, but your gift will flow even better if you set it down and let him flow through you. You'll be able to do stuff you could never do before. It's awesome to watch God do what you can't do through you in your home. How did that happen? How did that even happen? Because his grace was there. That's what Paul meant. It's not I. It's no longer I. No longer. Used to be, he's saying. Used to be me. Used to be Paul the big mouth, Paul the zealot, Paul the go grab everybody to get him arrested. Paul the fink, right? You look at the Amplified, it says that he was breathing threats against them through clenched teeth. I mean, he wanted them dead. He was a bad guy. And yet, no longer, he says, no longer I. But Christ lives in me. What did he learn? He learned how to let Jesus preach through him, teach through him, write through him, worship through him. Somebody asked me once, how do you worship him? I don't know. The Holy Ghost does it. You think, well, why would the Holy Ghost praise the Lord? It's called a spirit of worship. It's a spirit of worship that comes, flows through you. How do you have a relationship? How can you love Jesus? How do you teach someone to love? You can't teach him. You say, oh, Jesus, fill my heart with a love for you. Pretty soon you're just weeping. You're just weeping for the goodness of God, encountering him when you couldn't do it. Because your flesh cannot fellowship with God physically. Your flesh doesn't go to heaven. But your spirit's there most of the time. So I want to share a little bit more about that second type. Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted. That means the shattered, the destroyed. And I will say for me, even the dead. Because what happened to me was I went dead on the inside. I was still obeying God. I was still moving by the Spirit. I knew how. I was preaching by the Spirit. I was seeing people get changed by the Spirit, but no one knew unless they knew by the Spirit. I was dead on the inside. My emotions were gone. I couldn't feel anything, nothing. I was just walking by, you know, faith. I couldn't feel anything. I didn't care if I was used or not used. I didn't care if I lived in the city or the country. I didn't care if I lived or died. I just didn't care. Because I had so died. You know, there was a lady that used to preach this sermon called Die Well, and I used to say, God, I think I died too well because I don't know what to do. I can't feel anything. I just don't care. One night we had a great snowstorm. We were all at a prayer meeting. Lori lived about an hour and a half away or something, and I said, I don't feel safe with you driving in this. Why don't you come over and sleep on the couch? And then go home in the morning. She said, okay. Now, Lori had never said two words, you know, except in prayer. So she really was quiet. We didn't know anything about her, really, except that we knew she was faithful to God. She came over, and instead of being tired, suddenly we woke up, and Lori started to talk. And she started to tell me about the baby. You remember the baby? And she started to tell me about my life that I'd never told anybody, not even Edgar. Even Edgar didn't. Nobody knew. Nobody knew the story of the woman who died in childbirth. Nobody knew that. But Lori began to tell me that story. And I said, well, it's evident that God has called you to this ministry. Nobody knows that. So I let her talk for a long time. Then I said, now I will tell you my side so you can understand the other half of it. And I told her, we were up till about, what, like 4, 4:30, long night. But God had assigned Lori and some others. And people, remember, Mary, I think you were having baby visions for a while there. God was raising from the dead the little baby. Not me, not Holly. Holly's dead, thank you, God. Holly was a stinker. She was a stinker. We don't want her back. But he began to raise something from the dead that I knew nothing about. And he began to raise my heart from the dead. We actually have a teaching. It's called Oasis of Healing Power, Raising the Emotionally Dead. Now, your entire heart may not have shut down, but sometimes you may have a piece of your heart that shut down because you could no longer handle what was going on. It may have happened when you were little. Someone here, it happened when you were 22. Someone here, it happened when you were 39. Someone here, it happened when you thought your marriage was okay. You thought everything was good, and out of nowhere, it was broken, and you found out that there was betrayal, and trust was broken. Your heart was broken. But more than that, you began to feel like, well, what am I, dirt? You know, what am I, just, you know, dung? What am I? You know, don't I have value? So I'm talking to people's hearts right now. The Lord has the ability to raise you from the dead, to live again, to breathe again, to hope again. God wants to take you into his heart for a time, for a season. This isn't all today. But some of you, for a season, you're going to encounter God's heart. And life is going to flow from his heart into sections of your heart. I'm going to ask you by faith, you're going to have to trust God a little bit. But if I'm talking to you and you say, man, I think she might be talking to me, give your heart, just in a quiet prayer, just say, I'm giving it to you, I'm giving you my heart. All the goods and bads, the broken parts, the scarred parts, the wounded parts, the parts that don't even want to live again. I don't want to feel again. There's somebody saying that. But say this quietly to God. I'm trusting you with my heart. Put your heart and the spirit of your life-giving power into my heart. And let me breathe again. Let me live again. Let me hope again. And right now I speak life. Life, life, live, 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 live again. Be raised, but not in fleshy worry or pain, not in scars and wounding, but be raised in the glory and the joy of the Lord. Like a simple child who's happy just because it's nice out, just happy because God's good. And there's fresh air. Just happy because you're with God. God can wash away all the years in a moment. I see him just so gently pulling out like roots and weeds, just so gently. He'll never harm you. He'll never harm you. He'll never do damage. He'll never add to your pain, never, ever. He'll never embarrass you. He'll never shame you. He doesn't do things that way. But I see him so gently. I saw this before during worship. I saw the arm of the Lord, like I saw Jesus' arm and hand reaching down to just touch. His hand can go right in you sometimes by the Spirit and touch hearts, touch thoughts and memories, heal wounds. There's some wounds that, there's one wound in here that it's actually still bleeding. And I saw Jesus just touch it and heal. He's making whole again what you thought could never be whole again. I feel like he wants me to say this to some people. What they said about you wasn't true. Someone in here, more than one person, you had things said about you, and you took it to heart because you thought, is that true? Am I really that bad? Am I the problem? And Jesus said, no, 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 no. No, no. What they said about you wasn't true. But what I say about you, that's true. That you're wonderful. You're mine. I love you so much. I value you so highly. And that will never change. People spoke things to you because they didn't understand and they didn't know. And they had their own issues and their own demons, some of them. But I say to you, you're mine. I'm so proud of you. I don't look at your little mistakes. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at your heart. How much you love me, even though you've condemned yourself. Some of you condemned yourself and blamed yourself, thought I was mad. But I was never mad. I wasn't mad. I never have been. I took all the judgment. I took it already. I saw it on the cross. It's not like I'm looking at it now. I took it then. I saw you then. I saw the bumblings and stumblings, the mistakes, the abuse. In some cases, I saw abuse. I saw words, lies go in. I saw Satan whisper things to you that weren't true. And I would say, don't believe it. Don't believe that. He's lying. But now I say to you, come with me, my child, my own, my beloved. Come with me. Come away and let me minister to you. Let me serve you, Jesus says. Let me make you whole again. I see a picture of Jesus with a key in his hand. And there's some people in here, you've had to be in a cage your whole life. It's called the cage of limitations that people put upon you, but they weren't true. And Jesus has never liked that cage. And with such gentleness, he's taking that lock, that key, and he's unlocking that padlock, and he's opening those cages and saying, no more, no more. Some people are afraid to come out because they'll feel like, I'll just get in trouble again, I'll just get decked again, because that's all you ever knew. It wasn't one lie. It was a whole lifetime of stuff that was said to you and about you and even by you because you believed it. And so even though the door is open, you're afraid to come out. Why would I come out? I'll just get clobbered. That's all you've ever known. And I see Jesus, and he's like, has massive strength. And I saw him take his hands and his arms with muscles and just rip this cage apart. And I heard him say, I declare your freedom. And I declare your wholeness. You are mine. And if you don't learn anything else, learn this. You belong to me. And I love you with an everlasting love that can never be tainted. It can never be diminished. There's nothing you can do that will ever stop the flow of my love for you. I am without shadow of turning. I am without variableness or shadow of turning, my word says. Nothing can ever take you out of my love. Nothing. You can't go far enough. You can't run away far enough to escape my love for you. I'll find you. I'll come and track you down to love on you, to make you whole. And he says, if it's the last thing I do, I want to get the truth into your soul that you matter to me. You may think you don't matter to people, but you matter to me. You may think people have disrespected you or undervalued you, and maybe you've undervalued yourself, but I want you to know, I know your value. I'm the most amazing designer. And when I design something, it's utterly magnificent. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't make junk. I don't make mistakes. The only problem you had was you were born in a world that was broken and fallen, and you were trained up under Adam's teaching, under Adam's DNA. But when I recreated your born-again spirit, that is without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. It is without fault. It is without flaw. And in the Spirit, you are exactly who I want you to be. So your issue as you walk through life is becoming that person that I made you to be. I'm not making it. I already have done. You're already complete. You're already beautiful. You're already holy in your spirit, man. I see him breathing on hearts. I see the breath of God breathing on sections of hearts. There's someone here, I won't call you out, but you felt like you failed in a certain area, and so you kind of just shut it down. It's not like you're heartbroken, but you kind of felt like, well, I guess I'm not going to be able to do that. I tried that, but it didn't work. But I see even that being raised from the dead. Jesus says, oh, you didn't, you didn't fail. You know why you didn't fail? Because I didn't fail. And I'm not done. You say, well, it didn't happen. Well, am I done yet? Amen. No, I'm not. You haven't seen the end from the beginning, but I have. And I'm calling you up higher because I want you to know what heaven is like. I want you to know what it really means to be redeemed. I want you to know what it is to walk in the heavenly city where everything belongs to you. Did I not say in my word, all things are yours and you are Christ's and Christ is God's? Did I not say that in my word? Yes. Because all the things of heaven that I bought joyfully. Do you remember it says for the joy that was set before him? Do you know what that joy was? I saw you. I saw humans. I saw your faces. I saw those that would love me with all their heart, though they doubted themselves. And I saw all the glorious things I was purchasing for them that they could never get on their own. And I saw the joy of them when the surprise, like a little kid opening a Christmas present, like a kid opening a gift, and it's like the very thing they wanted that they thought they could never have. And I see you going around and having saying, this is mine, and this is mine, and this is mine too. Yes, I bought it all for you. All these things are yours, and it was my joy to purchase them for you. So I want you to come to me. I want you to learn from me. I want you to understand all that belongs to you. Not just the stuff, not just the gifts, not just the ministries and the purposes, but things that I bought for you just because I knew you'd like it. Just because I knew it would make you happy. Do you know that there's things I purchased for you just because I knew it was something you would want? Nobody else might care about it, but it was something special for you. Those are the things that gave me the most joy. To bring you into my presence and be able to freely give gifts to you. What a delight for me. That was the joy set before me. And so I'm raising you up. And with my hand and with the breath of my mouth, I am wiping away many years of destruction. Destruction gone. Foul memories gone. Evil speaking gone in Jesus' name. And I declare a new heart and a new life. I declare the resurrection power. I see calluses and scars. You know, when there's a wound and it heals with a scar. Well, when that happens to your heart, that forms a callus. And people will say, I used to hear from God, but I don't hear anymore. And the reason is there's a callus that's grown hard. And it was to protect their heart from mean people, right? But it actually has also kept the word of the Lord out. So if you're here and you say, man, I used to hear from God. I don't know what happened. I love him with all my heart, but for some reason I don't hear. In the name of Jesus, I declare new flesh. Haven't you heard that he can circumcise our hearts anew? He can cut away anew. He can cut away every callus, every scar, every wound, and breathe and give life again so that you're sensitive to him again, loving him fully again and able to receive again. Some of you are being opened up right now to be able to receive from him again for the first time in years. You were shut down. I'm actually seeing a picture of an old pipe with a valve, like a water pipe, but the valve was closed off for years, and it's kind of clankety and rusty because it's been so many years. But God, you know, it's like he just turns it like it's nothing, and I hear gurgle, 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 and like water's flowing again. You're going to live again. You're going to dream again, but this time with the dreams of God. You're going to hope again. You're going to know what it is to feel joy. And I would say again, but there's a couple people who have never really felt joy. And I see a well of joy. Hallelujah. A well. I'm talking about a well that lives in you that you can pull on any time you need to. The joy of the Lord being put in. I actually have that. I have it in me. I'm imparting it right now to anybody that wants it. Pull. If you know how to pull, pull. Take it. Take that well of joy. Take the peace of God. Jesus said, peace. I can actually feel it coming out of me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, he said. Give I unto you. Some of you are going to know peace for the first time in years. Some of you are going to sleep a full night for the first time in years. Some of you that have been crying for years are finally going to be able to stop crying. And some of you that haven't been able to cry for years are going to have the floodworks released. But it's a good thing. It's a good release. Don't worry about it. The Holy Ghost, sometimes we need to let some stuff out. Sometimes we need to have a good Holy Ghost cry. And it's just part of the healing process. Don't worry about it. The Holy Ghost will help you. He'll help you. He'll help you walk this out. There's people in here, you might leave and go, I don't know if I got it. You did. But sometimes these matters, God is so delicate and gentle. And sometimes we can't handle too much at once. So just walk slow. Don't rush out and go, you know, do a million things. If you're in process, let him every day take a little bit of time to just lay down in his presence. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to pray anything smart. Just say, Holy Ghost, I just want to be in your presence. Maybe pray a little bit in the Spirit and just let him take it where he wants to go, because you're in a process of complete healing. We don't ask God for partial. We ask him for 100%. And if that process takes a while, you can trust him. He is your counselor. He is your therapist. Lay on his couch and you will be healed. Kurakasa tahashiki. Holy is the Lord. Korapabaridi. I'm just waiting to see if God has any more. Checking in, as we say. See if the Lord has anything else he wants to release. I do see someone here. You've been walking in God a long time. You're an older saint. You're and a good one. But I saw you standing near Jesus, and he was having you take off your old shoes. And I saw your new shoes. He has some new shoes for you. Which usually means a new walk in God, perhaps a new calling or ministry, but it's a new life in God. I see him putting a robe of protection over someone. Now, I don't know who this is, but you've never felt protected. You never felt like people stood up for you or protected. You weren't covered. You didn't feel protected. And I saw Jesus put his own robe over your shoulders. And the words on the back were protection. You're under the protection of Jesus himself. I saw someone's eyes. Your eyes are being opened to see. You're going to see better than you've ever seen. But I'm not talking about in the natural. and talking about in God's world, you're going to begin to see things. And at first, it might be a little strange. But through it, he will give you wisdom and revelation. I saw someone, God's so gracious, he won't show me your secrets, okay? Some of them are not for me to know. But I saw someone, you had this thing that's, it really is of no value, but you valued it, and it was almost like this big metal thing, and you like clutched it like it was this thing, and you clutched and clutched and clutched. And as you've been listening, you've been like, you know what, I don't think I need that anymore. And I saw you take this thing, and it was, I think it was the way you did life, the way you've always done life. And you said, you know what, I don't need to do this anymore. I can trust Jesus. And you took this thing and you put it on a table and you said, I don't need that anymore. I'm done with that. And you kind of did this with your hands like, I don't need that. I have Jesus. I have him. And he and I, we're an item. We're an item. I'm going to be fine. I don't have to self-protect. I don't have to plan so diligently. I don't have to be the world's greatest organizer or planner or list maker. I can trust in him. He'll tell me how to do it. I don't have to have it all together. He's got it all together. And I saw Jesus put his arm around you and say, attaboy, attaboy. Like, good job. Job well done. Saw another person, and there was a massive city of destruction behind you. And you've been trying to leave that area, been trying to walk out of it for years, but it was like you couldn't quite get out of the city of destruction. And even though the destruction happened some time ago, you couldn't get out of there. Your city was destroyed. But I saw Jesus come and get you. And I saw him hook his elbow to elbow, like he hooked your arm. He wouldn't force you and he wouldn't hurry you, but he said, when you're ready, when you feel ready, I'm going to walk you out of here. But I won't make you and I won't rush you. But when you're ready, he said, I will walk you out of here myself. I'll do it. And you will never go back there again. Because when we are out of there, I'm going to close the gate behind us, and I'm going to lock it, and I'm going to bar it, and I'm going to put angels there. You will never go back to the city of destruction. Okay.